Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with another program based upon what the Bible teaches. Today we're going to begin a new series on the station under the caption of Power of the Prophets. And when we were talking to someone the other day about preparing this series of lessons, the thought came up, well, isn't it true that the Bible can be proven by the Bible? I've heard a long time ago that you couldn't do this, and I mentioned to congregations all over the country who have been preaching that people have said that you can't prove the Bible by the Bible. But one of the ways that I know that the Bible can be proven, at least to my satisfaction, and perhaps to the satisfaction of many people, is certainly to look at the prophets that offered the prophecies in the Old Testament, well, even as well as the New, and then see how those prophecies are fulfilled. So we want to begin a series today in talking about the power of the prophets. And I want to go back to a teaching that was passed on to me many years ago by a dear brother in Christ who was an outstanding Bible teacher. And he taught the Bible for well over 50 years, in fact, probably closer to 60 years. And I remember being in a Bible class one time, he just simply said, you know, when you're talking about the prophets, you want to think of a man sitting at a table with a telescope in which he can look through that telescope and write down what he sees. Now, his idea was that even though the prophet did not have a proverbial telescope, he was using that as an illustration. Yet that object lesson was the idea that as he wrote down, not knowing many times what he was writing or what it meant, God would lengthen or shorten the telescope. Sometimes a prophet would be writing about things that took place in his own life, or maybe in the days that were to come to pass shortly. And then God would extend that telescope, so to speak, in the illustration, clear down into another age. For instance, in the Old Testament, like we're going to deal with today, the prophet Isaiah, that lived over 700 years before Christ came to this earth, he prophesied about the coming of Jesus. He prophesied about the kingdom. He prophesied many things. He even told us in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah what Christ would look like. Now, he didn't know this personally from conversation or observation or experience with Christ, but he wrote by inspiration. So I thought that was a pretty good illustration by this good brother who was a very outstanding teacher, and we're not going to be able to present the lessons like he did, but we are going to keep that thought in mind that there is power in the prophets. So I'm going to the second chapter of Isaiah where we have four interesting things that we want to present to you on this broadcast today, and I believe you'll agree when we're through with this one broadcast, this one sermon, I believe you'll agree that there is a strong argument that you can prove the Bible by the Bible. I don't believe we have to go to the annals of history. I don't believe we have to go to the works of man to prove the Bible to be true. And I'm not just going to simply set upon the position that since the Bible's been here so long, that just proves it's true. Now, that's an interesting point. And, of course, Peter said in 1 Peter, the first chapter, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And when I read the Bible, I find that same teaching that we have before us today on the broadcast is going to be there at the bar of judgment. Keep in mind, friends, that all the creed books, all the human doctrines of man, all the dogmas and teachings of man are going to be burned up when the elements melt with fervent heat and the earth and the works therein are burned up. So the next time you think about putting your confidence in what some man or woman has said, some religious leader who may have been honest, we're not doubting that at all, you just go a little deeper on this subject and realize that the Word of God is the one teaching that's going to be there at the bar of judgment. If you want scripture for that, just simply look at the 20th chapter of Revelation. There are a lot of places in the Bible, but that brings it out very conclusively that the books were opened, and that's referring to undoubtedly the Old and New Testament. And then there was another book, the Book of Life. But the people were judged, whether they lived in the Old Testament or New Testament, under the law, the teaching under which they lived. So you see, that's not going to be the doctrine of men. That's going to be the word of the Lord that's going to be there. It's going to endure forever. So going to Isaiah, the second chapter, we have a number of things here that are offered to us by this prophet. Now you keep in mind as we teach this on the broadcast today that the things we're talking about took place well over 700 years. That was the prophecy that was offered. And then 700 years later, we have the fulfillment. In fact, it's over 700 years. Well, notice as we look at the teaching that's found here in the second chapter of Isaiah this morning, He's talking about the mountain of the Lord's house here. That's an interesting aspect. Isaiah has dealt with this subject in a very conclusive manner, and I want to take time to especially key in on it. We have a place here now, so we're going to go with the second chapter of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now he pinpoints it. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now you may want to analyze this, and you may have questions about it, and if we don't cover them, or if we don't explain them to your satisfaction or understanding, well, you feel free to let us know. Card or letter will bring that about to the station or to the congregation that's bringing you this broadcast at this present time. But I want to notice four things. In verse 2, we have the last days mentioned. We also have the mountain of the Lord's house mentioned. And we have all nations mentioned. And then down in verse 3, to close out the sequence, it says the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. Now, all these things are keyed in very definitely to the teaching that's found in the New Testament. You see, you can go from Isaiah, the second chapter, and you'll find the principle of this fulfillment found in Acts, the second chapter. So what you've got to think about on the broadcast today is Isaiah 2, where we have the prophecy, and then well over 700 years, we span down to the second chapter of Acts that begins by telling us when the day of Pentecost was fully come. So the last days here in the second chapter of Isaiah is undoubtedly referring to what Peter said in that sermon in the second chapter of Acts. And if you're taking time to take notes on that, just turn over to that second chapter of Acts, and you'll notice that Peter, when he begins his sermon, he refers to that very thing. In the 14th verse, Peter stood up with the 11, and he lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Then he said in verse 15, For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now keep in mind, Joel spoke by the same inspiration that Isaiah did. And here's what Joel said in chapter 2 of his prophecy. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So the last days are definitely mentioned here by the man Peter in his proclamation here in the city of Jerusalem. He's saying the thing has happened here when the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles. This is just like the prophet Joel said. Well, it's like the prophet Isaiah said. He said in the last days the mountain of the Lord's house will be established. You know, the word mountain, getting into the second point now, we've got the last days before our mind. Getting at the second point, the word mountain refers to kingdom or government. Now, that's understood by students of prophecy, that when you have the word mountain, you're referring to kingdom or government. Now, he says the mountain of the Lord's house. Now, isn't that an interesting terminology to find that he would say the mountain of the Lord's house? Now, that has a significance that I'm sure we shouldn't overlook, and I'd like to call your attention now to another teaching that's found in the New Testament Scripture where Paul is telling us what the Lord's house is. So here we go down over 700 years again, and Paul's writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Now listen to verse 15. Paul says, But if I tarry long, as he writes this young evangelist, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, that's the Lord's house, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, it's called the mountain of the Lord's house back in prophecy. And then Paul simply tells Timothy what the Lord's house is. It's the church. And it's interesting in that second chapter of Acts to find the first place in the New Testament where there's a record that people were added to the church, which proves to us that it was in existence. And that's a famous passage. It's found in Acts 2:47. Not alone does it say the people there who were following Christ were praising God and having favor with the people, but it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So you see, the mountain of the Lord's house was in existence in that second chapter of Acts. So we've got the last days, We got the church or the mountain of the Lord's house, his kingdom, in existence there in the city of Jerusalem, and people were added to it daily. Also, you remember that he mentions that all nations would flow unto it. And again, the second chapter of Acts brings that point out, for in verse 5, it tells us that the day of Pentecost, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, the same gospel was preached to the Gentiles that was proclaimed to the Jews, but it had its beginning here, its principal beginning, on this day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. So here is a case of where representation of all nations, we find them hearing the gospel here on this first Pentecost. And if you're interested in researching this, you can drop down in the second chapter to the 9th verse and read from the 9th down through the 11th, and you'll find that there's a catalog of where these people were from. Now, it's considered that this represents the known world, the Roman world at this time. So there were people from every nation under heaven in the city of Jerusalem there on this day of Pentecost. And, of course, the fourth point is that this was to go forth in the city of Jerusalem. He uses the terminology Zion back there in the 3rd verse of the 2nd chapter of Isaiah. And that even indicates a sector of the city of Jerusalem which is associated with the giving of the law. Now keep this thought in mind, that when Isaiah wrote this, clear back there over 700 years before Christ came, that he was living under the law of Moses. Now that law did not go forth from Jerusalem. That law went forth from Mount Sinai. You understand Mount Sinai was some distance from Jerusalem. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, you remember, and in Exodus 20, we have Moses going up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. Also, he got those things that were associated with their worship to God, which was a part of that law. That didn't go forth from Jerusalem. That went forth from Mount Sinai. But here Isaiah is prophesying that the word of the Lord is going to go forth from Jerusalem. So isn't it a wonderful thing to realize that we've taken a prophecy clear back here in the Old Testament, and we pointed out to you in a fashion that is clear in the Bible, that the last days had come, that people were added to the church, which is the Lord's house, that all nations had an opportunity to obey it here, representation of all nations, and we also have it beginning in the city of Jerusalem. So this is an interesting point when you're talking about this kingdom, or you're talking about the church, you're talking about what was prophesied by Isaiah. Now, if you could read any type of prophecy like this in the writings of men, it wouldn't have to be 700 years. There could be some person who would say in 10 years from today, a certain thing is going to happen. Let's say that someone catalogs that. They write it down. Then here the years pass, and we get down to the 9th year, and we're getting into the 10th year, and someone says, Mr. So-and-so of a certain university or wherever it might be, 10 years ago prophesied that a certain thing had happened on a certain date. And let's say that thing came to pass just the way it was said. Every newspaper, every TV station would have this blaring forth in headlines and in news announcements and flashes of what an outstanding prophet this person was. Well, here's the Bible. And people lay it on the shelf and they say it's a good old book. But they fail to realize when they say that how great a book it really is. It is the book of books. And I believe this prophecy from Isaiah is as formidable a one as we'll have in the entire teaching in showing us what was prophesied by inspiration of God to the prophet Isaiah and how these things were fulfilled, well, basically on that day of Pentecost when the church and the Lord's kingdom had its beginning. Well, we're going to have to leave it with you on the broadcast today. I hope this has been interesting to you. And if you have questions about this prophecy or others, well, feel free to send them in. Keep in mind your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast invite you to their services. Listen to the announcer for time of meeting. Tell a friend or neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next week as we continue on with Power of the Prophets.